Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Our special guest today is very excited to have her on again. This is part two of our podcast. And she's involved in a lot of things here in the area. And we're just so happy to have you, Ms. Harris. And I just personally know that you do so much in the community. Without what you're doing in the community, it would be a tragedy not to have the organization that you have. You're involved in so many things. House of Levenier. Let's start out by just saying good afternoon to you, and just welcome. I mean, I know the family well, and we're just so delighted to have you for part two. So let's get started. Everybody, this is Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, and our special guest today is none other than Sabrina Harris. Ms. Harris, won't you go ahead and just say hello to the listeners, and let's start out by telling a little bit about yourself and about Riviera Beach.
Yes, Sunday blessings to everyone. I am truly honored to be back before you in the virtual sense, just the scope of being able to hear me. God is truly amazing, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. I'm over here smiling like, who is already talking about? Who is he saying all that good stuff about? But Sabrina Harris, I gave an in-depth look into who I am on the first podcast, and I'm definitely going to push the hearing of part one and part two. But in a scope, I am a woman of God, divinely blessed on a mission to educate and elevate God's people. That's his mandate through the trauma, the stress, the pain, the arduous journey that I've been through. I remember asking God why. I wasn't questioning God. I was just questioning the intensity of the experiences that I had. And he let me know with no level of uncertainty that it was not about me, but about what he had ordained for me to do. So I am happy to be here today and happy to push forward with the discussion.
Okay, great. Before we get into the vision of that you have for the community, let's just touch on a little things that we talked about last week so some of the listeners didn't get a chance to hear about some of the organizations, some of the things that you're involved in. Just briefly, I want you to just share a little bit about some of the organizations and 501c3 that you're involved in. I mean, I know you have the House of Levenaires and some other things. So just tell a little bit about the Coaches and Pros, the Wilson Show, Sapphires and Rubies. I mean, we can go on and on. Why don't you just update us for the listeners who didn't tune in last week.
Yeah.
Tell a little bit about what's going on.
Well, that's that creative energy and mojo, but I'll start out with the House of Love Illionaires Incorporated. That's my baby, birthed back in 2013, officially established as a 501c3 nonprofit 2018. But the name of it and the essence of it was really it came to bear when I was mentoring a group of young teens. And I had asked them about, you know, arriving in life and what it takes and what's symbolic of you having gotten there. And throughout the discussion, all of the responses was like the materialistic things, the house, the car, the bag, the purse, the shoes, all these different things that were materialistic. And I really began to think about it very heavily because the course of the conversation shifted from the tangible things that you can touch and, you know, see and spend or whatever the case, to the intangibles like love, joy, peace, understanding, just being a good person, those characteristics that make us who we are. And I thought about the concept of love, which was incorporated primarily, but then it became a spinoff of all of those others that I just mentioned. But God gave me the house concept. And it came to me in a way that the understanding was we do not heal one-dimensionally. When we've experienced traumatic situations or relationships fall apart, or we just have angst and conflict amongst each other, we heal from this in different dimensions because we are triune beings. So we come mind, body, and spirit. And God showed me that to have different dimensions in this house or in this organization is how you are going to help people in the community heal, especially those who do not have access to or the means to have that long-term mental health intervention, trauma-informed services and intervention in that way, and just the holistic approach. Some of the things that we have done is incorporate textile art therapy in a dimension with Kianga Art. Shout out to Kianga Janaki. She was also overseeing the yoga and the meditation, aromatherapy. We have collaborated in a lot of different ways to bring what is not customary, especially in our Black and brown community, and say, okay, we understand the myths. We understand the things that have been put out there that have maybe kept you from these amazing things, but there's a true, clear, organic, non-evil nature to different things inside of the therapeutic realm. If you open your mind and get your the right teaching and you're connected in the right way, this is what helps sustain you. And typically it's free. You can do art free a lot of the times with the basic skill sets and the basic materials. Some of the things don't require much. So this is what the House of Love Illionaires is all about. It is being rich on those things that money simply cannot buy. I don't care how much money you have. You can't buy peace. You can't buy love. It's not genuine. You can't buy hope. You can't buy empowerment. You have to be able to intrinsically tap into these things into yourself. And inside of the House of Love Illionaires, we birthed the Culture Pearls of Wisdom show. I love the concept of a pearl and the way it's developed inside of the shell, and it goes through this process. But through research, I found that your cultured pearl, your more expensive pearl, your colored pearl, they go through a process. And that process is there's a slit into the shell and there's ingredients infused during the developmental stage. So they become more worthy. They become more valuable. So the concept spins to the mental health spectrum, and we do shows with individuals who understand and have exacted the complex nature of infusing goodness into yourself, being educated, doing the research, doing your therapy work, and all of those different things to become the most priceless and valuable version of yourself. So finding the best you. So that's what that show is all about. And I was ill for a period of time, so we had to pause a little bit, but we're getting ready to go back into it full throttle in 2023. Very excited about that. And Sapphires, Rubies, and Diamonds Legacy Builders. We have come to understand that we have to get away from the concept of making money and just spending money or just having a neutral life and now allowing the money that we make to make money and to be the legacy builders and creating generational wealth so that we can have something to pass on along to our families and even not if just in family, to the community. I'm one of those individuals, I want to leave some buildings and some property and different things that the community can use. I want to position myself to be that level of a conduit and a blessing. So what we do inside of that particular community is we do shows with individuals who have been very successful as entrepreneurs. Those individuals who are willing to give of themselves for others, philanthropists, and all of those individuals are often interviewed for the show. And we also systematically drop nuggets and jewels in the group so that you can glean and take what's relevant for your life. But just a lot of financial wealth, legacy building, and those things.
Okay. Wow. I mean, there's so much material that we can cover. Just listen to some of the things that you involved in. If the people just know how much and the love that you, the passion that you have for your craft. I mean, this is why we have you on, just to let the listeners know and how to to become legacy builders, you know, to have that wisdom, to be practitioners. This is what they can do and they can build. Now,
yes.
Let me just say this. Your vision. I think you have a vision for our community and the events that you host. You know, why do you believe our community engagement is important? Just give us a little bit about, or just, you know, expound on about the vision that you have for the community.
The vision that I have for the community, to be honest, is holistic wellness and practice and us being in harmony and in unity. And that's across the board. To be able to really, really come together, a community into a society, it takes self-responsibility. It takes each individual being willing to say, I am going to work my mojo. I'm going to do what is incumbent upon me. I'm going to use my resources, beginning to create my best self and become aware to my greatest level of understanding, albeit that is continuous. So I now can work with others to exact that same thing. When we come together in the community, it is all about a unified front. It's about learning and gleaning wisdom for each other. It's about sitting in the same space with the same mindset and the same cause, that if we are responsible individually and we come together collectively, that's going to move mountains in every dimension. Yes, we want our community to be in harmony, and we want to eradicate community violence, and we all want to be whole and all of these other different things. But I just posted on social media today because God gave me something that I thought was tremendously powerful, and is that I cannot sit and watch what other people are doing and expect to be there. Expect to have that, expect to accomplish that. That's how jealousy and envy and all of those different things come to bear, which are just devastating and destructive emotions. But if I get busy, if I am working on myself, if I am researching, if I am learning, I'm in school, I'm developing my craft, vocational, whatever it is, and I'm positioning myself, and then I'm open to coming together and working with others and being with each other in a harmonious space, that kind of unity, that kind of being in sync, it creates this ripple effect, and it goes outward. Think about any space that you're in where everybody's on the same page, everybody's working towards the same goal. Man, you don't have that? Okay, I got that. Let me give you some of that. We're all working together and sharing information and helping each other up the ladder. And I still have the Harriet Tubman syndrome. I keep talking about it, that we leave no one behind. But if you're in a state of selfish, self-absorbed, me, it does not benefit the community. So I talk a lot about people who want to establish a nonprofit or they want to be in the community and develop a footprint. It's all about your mindset and your intention. You got to be people-oriented, and you got to be willing to make a sacrifice. I had one colleague who, like, called me to task on a nonprofit. She was like, you are so talented. You are positioned here. Why are you wasting your time with a nonprofit? A not-for-profit? She just couldn't get it because she was money-driven. And I had to explain to her that I'm people-driven. Whatever opportunity God blesses me with, I turn right around and bless his people. That's my nature. That's my discipline. So that you cannot understand it, it's just a clear indicator, unless a miracle changes within you, that you're not oriented for non-for-profit or people service in that realm. You're just money-driven. You want to make it. You want to do what you want to do with it, et cetera, et cetera, and that's fine. But when it comes to community, and I found that it's people that have the right mindset and the right discipline and wiring, that they can really see, start with self first, steady and ready yourself, and then build on a community of people who can come together and make positive change. Solution-oriented, we don't just get together and chop it up. We don't just get together and hang out. Even the discussion on surviving in the 21st century that we just had, it was solution-oriented. That, yes, we made it to this degree, but we still have to continue surviving. So what does that look like, and how are we going to do it well? So that will be my answer there. Who you are first, steady and ready yourself, and then get together the people who really want to be about community and changing things, and pull your resources, intentions, everything that you have, and work together for the greater cause.
You know, and that's so true, because a lot of times we know that when the community get together and people are on the same page and people want to do better, they're pulled together. And that's the only way the community is going to thrive. If we're pulling together with our resources, and if we don't do that, we're going to be at a standstill. So we have to pull together. We have to get on the same page, whether it's community issues or voting or whatever, but we have to come together. We have to come together. That's the only way we're going to thrive. And on that note,
and if you understand the nature of what's going on in today's society, you can see what happens when we don't, Artie. You can see the destruction. You can see the devastation. You can see the divide. You can see the conflict. It's very evident what happens when we do not come together on one accord.
Yes, you can see it. I mean, it's happening right in front of us today. We can see a lot of issues that we can't overcome if we just get on the same accord and people work together. We know we can overcome a lot of these issues in our own community, with the crime, with the jobless rates, whatever the issue is. If people are willing to help each other and not be just for self, and we can overcome those things. And I think we're going to have to continue to work on that. If we're going to thrive as a community, we're going to have to pull together. And I know by you being in Riviera Beach and coming up in Riviera Beach, I grew up in Riviera Beach. And just how did Riviera Beach kind of shape your life, though? What do you think the part that Riviera Beach played into who you are today?
Riviera Beach for me was a mecca of understanding family, community, and just having beautiful surroundings. I mean, for the beach, just a couple of miles away, and to be able to enjoy all of the things that I grew up being able to enjoy, to have all of these good feel businesses and people that you knew, you know, even if it's somewhere along the side of the street where you have someone with a barbecue grill set up and you're stopping on the side of the road, I recognize that we've been pouring into the community way back, because I always preferred these type settings than to go out or somewhere else. I would actually, even at a point in time when I relocated to the West Palm Beach area, I would still come back into Riviera Beach. And I also, it's always my home. Home is where the heart is, and my heart is for Riviera Beach. So many experiences, so many amazing people, so many opportunities, and above all, I love the richness of the spirituality spectrum. I tell you, when I ride through Riviera Beach and I see a church just about on every corner, I see streets named after pastors, I realize that we place so much emphasis on those who have paved the way. We honor and we recognize in Riviera Beach. We give people their just due to a meaningful degree. And it's like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? It feels good to, you know, tell your children or your grandchildren, I know that person, or I spent time with that person. I was able to work with that person. So I guess what I'm saying in a nutshell, that the best of Riviera Beach is not far removed from anyone. Even if you just come into Riviera Beach, you're going to meet people, and, you know, the biggest person, like the mayor over at the Tiki, at Marina, you know, people just being local and being available. I just think Riviera Beach is a beautiful place, and it's embedded in my heart for life.
Yes, yes. And we do know, being able, like you said, to say, well, I know that person, because we could take the host of this show and we could take the co-host, Ann McNeil and Dan Calloway. They're both giving back to so much in this community. Mr. Calloway has been a part of my life since I was 8 years old, and he's still doing the things that he's been doing all those years. And people we have to pay homage to, because we know those are the trendsetters, and we're trying to live out their legacy. We're trying to build on the same thing that they started. So for us to do that, we got to pay attention, get engaged, and go out there and make it happen. So I think that's part of Riviera Beach. There's so many people here that have built on the city, and we can follow. We just have to do that. We have to follow it up, because as time goes, we know evolution happens. People are going to leave. People are going to be born. But we got to have someone to carry on the torch, you know. So we all have to play our part to make it better. And so, because Riviera Beach to me means a lot, you know. Like I said, I grew up in Riviera Beach, and I know just about all of my life that's where I was. And I think following the people that came before me has made a difference in my life. So
absolutely. Also, and I would also say to those who are listening, Artie, it's to not get caught up in the hype, to not get caught up in any level of negativity that goes along with any city or any entity or whatever for that reason. There's always something there. But when you really look deep inside and you strongly consider and you go back, I love the historical look at what most of the advertisement and marketing and everything lends to it also has a historical element. Nothing without good accomplishment, a concrete or noteworthy accomplishment, never had an element of conflict or trial or adversity. I tell that to any individual. I said, if you're going to be somebody, if you're going to be noteworthy in this life and make significant accomplishments, you got to have some thick skin. You got to be able to deal with people judging you, deal with people assuming about you and having their own opinion and perspective. But what you know about yourself, what God knows, and the people who really, really, really run with you know and understand, it serves. It's that soothing balm. It's what keeps you going inside of all of this. So don't be deterred, you know, by whatever you may hear, even if it's something that is not so good, because the goodness certainly outweighs anything else.
Exactly. Exactly. Couldn't say it better myself. And we just want you to continue to do what you do, because we know that having a positive person in the city rubs off. And I think that's what this next question goes into, is just that you are often referred to as an agent of positive change, you're a social influencer, and just having a voice of wisdom. What do these things mean to you to have that label?
It's to whom much is given, much is required moment, because I have to now be very thought-oriented, pause and consider everything that I say and do and how I move. It's very, very, very important. I will never forget my mom. Back in the day, I used to be a part of this choir, community choir, but very well known. And I mean, I tell you, that choir was fire. It people in it were amazing in their own right musically, and we traveled and we just tore it down. But it was gospel. It was a gospel group. So I remember my mom saying, because my life wasn't to that degree inside of God at that time, you know, but I just enjoyed gospel music. I wanted to be a part of it. It just felt good and it felt right for me. But she said to me, she said, I want you to understand from a biblical term that, she says, when you position yourself in a certain way, especially inside of the guise of spirituality, not necessarily religion, I debate that, as spirituality, having a relationship with God and God being the head of your life, she said, when you put yourself there and you have other people who are listening to you, watching you, following you, and if they should see you misstep or, you know, do all of these different things, like you're blessing the Lord's house one minute and then you're out doing something else, she said, their blood is required on your hands. So she said, you have to be very careful about situations when you position yourself. And although I was able to get through that situation and make some decisions, you know, excellent advice, I couldn't be mad at it, it stuck with me. That, Sabrina, you not take positions for glorification or, you know, just because you know you'll do well or, you know, you're going to get all of the attention and all of that. You take positions because you know you're going to be an effective leader. You know you're going to pour into individuals. You know that you're going to build them up. You know that you're going to give them opportunities as God allowed other people to give to you as well. And, Artie, that's the reason I went back and got a second master's. I had accomplished my tri-certification, actually, and my master's degree at Palm Beach Atlantic in counseling psychology. And I went back for a second master's in leadership. That's just how important it is to me. And that's how important I want people to understand my ethical wiring and the nature of everything that I do. Transformational leaders, servant leaders. I want to be a leader that can lead when I need to, but kind of fall back and allow my people the chance. I also want to be that transformational leader that imparts in you things that when you leave my presence, you never forget. I don't want you to remember me necessarily forever, which comes along with the territory, but I want to remember you to remember the best that I gave to you. So I'm very, very intentional, and I don't take it for granted. I am grateful to the people who follow me, and it's kind of tricky with me because I'm naturally an introvert. So I prefer to be home, chill, good book. The aromatherapy, the house smelling good, that's me. That's my mojo. However, God has positioned me to be an extrovert. So I have to be out in the face of people and interacting and connecting. But I found the term ambivert, and it encompassed both. So I'm an introvert when I wind down, and I'm an extrovert when I need to press the gas pedal.
Okay. We know having a good frame of mind, just quickly on this, how important is mental health plays a part of our community right now?
It is essential. And because a lot of what you're seeing is the offset of trauma and mental illness unattended, and that's what you get when things exacerbate and spiral out of control. Also, the addiction rate, it's soaring, especially among our young people, because people have been saddled with pain and adversity and controversy and just disruption for so long, they don't want to deal or they don't have the capacity to deal. This is very important. Your level of resiliency and being able to handle something where Artie may say, man, that's nothing. I got that. I'm good. I might be over here like all broken down and drawn out and melancholy and just can't handle it. So our threshold for tolerance, for pain, and everything is different. But even inside of addiction, to not want to be in the moment, to not even want to be available, that you want to escape. I dealt with a group of women at the Gratitude House when it was in play several years ago before it went under. And I had one of the residents say to me, we were having a candid conversation, and this woman laid herself bare in a way that was mind-blowing to me, but she's talked about having sold her child at one time, put her child on the market, selling things, formula diapers, different things, a lot of stuff that happened. And, of course, DCF intervention, lost custody of her child, long journey home. But when she told me the back end of her story, when she told me about incest and being molested by her father and her mother not believing her and kicking her out of the house, when she told me about the devastating relationships, even one that saddled her with back then it was more of an issue than it is now. Progressively, HIV has not become a necessary death sentence. But back then she thought it was. But it was the parameters of her life that led her to the place where she developed an addiction to escape her life instead of dealing with it. So you not being good. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So to be honest about what you're enduring, to recognize and take ownership of the need for intervention and help, it's not within my span of control. And then engaging and committing yourself to that help and to the healing process, it's only going to make things better in our society. It's only going to keep people from going over the deep end. And now you're so triggered and you are so upset, your only remedy is to fight or to shoot or to stab or to whatever the case may be. So it goes back to self-responsibility. Whatever is going on with me is my responsibility first. It should not be that whatever is going on with me becomes Artie's burden to bear because I wouldn't attend to myself.
Wow. Yeah, that is deep, and that is so true. And that's why empowering someone's life is, it makes a difference. And I think that's being an empowerment coach. I think you see it firsthand, or how to get someone to understand and move on and empower themselves to be better. So that is just so important to have and understand.
Absolutely.
Seem like we could talk forever. Seem like every time I get on this show, it seems like we should have another part today because we have so much to give. And just looking at the bio, all of these accolades and these accreditations that you have, these accreditations are just mind blowing. You do so many things, and I just want to say on my final remarks is that we all have a part to play in how the community turns out. We just can't sit back and just say, well, you know, it's going to be what it is. You know, things are just the way they is, and ain't nothing no one can do. But everyone gives a little, it becomes a lot. You know, I was told that by someone very important to me years ago, and it still rings true today. If everyone gives a little, it becomes a lot. And that's how we begin to change our mindset, the things that we're involved in and the people that we can touch, and then ultimately the community. So I just want to thank you for just coming on again to let our listeners know and to educate them and on the things that they can do. They can empower themselves. They can just go out and make a difference. I mean, they may not feel that they can. And that's part of the mental part of it that you touched on. So as long as we know that we have that power within us, that we can do that. So we're never giving up. We're going to try to understand each other and just make our community better, make the world better. And we can do that by touching one person, because if everybody touch one person and make a difference to one person, believe me, it's going to make a change. So, again, our guest today is Ms. Sabrina Harris, and we're so glad to have you. And I'm sure we're going to talk again and set something else up. Because you're just a wealth of information here on Wikipedia and Encyclopedia that we have all in one place. That is just great. So let me just get your final thoughts and your final comments on that you want to share with the audience today.
I just want to share Lisa Nichols with the masses, and she talks about rescuing yourself. And I want you to consider, especially when you think that you're drowning, you're overwhelmed, you can't take it anymore, you're stressed out and all of that, Artie, you just said it. With God's help, I say, but definitely you have within you what you need. We have a reservoir of goodness. God endowed us with so much, but we have to tap into it. You have to listen to your body. Your body is speaking to you. It's trying to tell you things, but you have to pay attention. And then you have to be able to do what you are able to do, what's within your scope to make things better for yourself. And by doing that, I promise you, you will have a positive impact on your community. Learn how to rescue yourself.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I can say yes to all of those things. I just want to tell our listeners, you have been listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. I am standing in for our host, Ms. Ann McNeil, and our co-host, Mr. Dan Calloway. We will be back on the same time next week, Sunday. Invite everyone to come out and listen, to tune in. Very informative shows. We will be actually posting this onto our webpage, our Facebook page, Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, so you can pull this up and share it. Again, thanks a million for coming on. We just enjoy having you every time, Sabrina. So anytime you want to come back, Sabrina, you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to do that. We love having you, and let's continue our upward trend on our community. And as we build in this community, we can go ahead and make a difference elsewhere. So, again, thank you for coming on. Thank our listeners for being on. Again, you have been listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.